Good afternoon. Thanks for hanging out to the last day of the conference. I know everyone's probably tired, but my name is Angela Colonna, and I'm from the University of Florida, and I'm presenting on behalf of some of my colleagues who couldn't attend. And today we conducted some focus groups, and today I'm going to talk about some current trends we found and also the confidence that they have in the future of the horticulture industry. So just to kind of give you kind of a bird's eye view of why we wanted to do the focus groups in the first place, we noticed that there is a generational shift that's going to be changing soon. The average age of an American farmer is about 58 years old, and the average age of a horticulture operation is about 25 years in the state of Florida. And so our participants in our focus groups were multi and also first generation horticulturists, and we also included urban food producers. We wanted to do focus groups just to kind of see where the discussion went, to kind of give some depth of some understanding as opposed to maybe a traditional survey method. Participants were asked specific questions on when, why, and how the University of Florida IFAS Extension resources, how useful they were when they were seeking out information, and the audio was recorded and transcribed. The quotes I'm going to be showing everyone, they're not grammatically correct, so I kind of put some ellipses in, but besides that, we're just going to go with the flow. So the objective was to understand the young industry professionals. We identified them as anyone under the age of 40, and what their perceptions were of the university system, including extension, and also to understand their research and informational needs. So one trend we found was consumers' demand for organic products. I'm sure you guys are all familiar with that. This particular quote highlighted how in the past 5 years they had known or were aware of this demand from their consumers. They anticipate that demand to continue, but not only for edible food, but also up to ornamentals or anything that looks pretty that maybe they would want to put on their kitchen counter or up maybe in their office space. Another trend we found was a concern about bees. We're at a time where there's concern about water and air quality and land use, but in particular, bees was a main concern that came up in the focus group, particularly in floriculture. They had to, this particular person found that some chemicals they were using were not okay with their consumers, and so they actually had to change the chemicals they did use in production, and they said that they're constantly trying to find other chemicals that they could use as a plan B or even a plan C. And even brokers were asking questions, and that they realized that certain products wouldn't even be sold if the consumer knew that that a certain chemical was being used out in the greenhouse. So again, like the previous presenter mentioned, local markets are still a hot topic. People are seeing these larger entities breaking down. There may always be a Home Depot or a Lowe's, but having that local, eat local, buy local movement is still active, especially in Florida as well, and they feel like that is going to be consistent in the coming years. Another trend was looking at specialty crops, in particular with microgreens. And there's the traditional aspect of maybe potatoes or onions, and that's a commodity that we're all used to. But these high-value specialty crops, like microgreens or herbs or flowers even, were seen to be a focus on maybe instead of the onions or tomatoes. And they're seeing there is a demand for it. There is a niche market for that out there as well. So we also found that there's this renewed interest in ag, and a lot of people are coming into greenhouses or coming into garden centers with some information, some pre-research that they did. So they're not coming in with a blank slate necessarily. They may have an idea of, I want something as simple as maybe a low maintenance, like a succulent or a cactus, low maintenance plant product versus maybe a high maintenance plant. And so people are kind of coming in. There's a self-education. A lot of people are using the internet. They're Googling things to kind of figure out what kind of product that they're looking for. Netflix in particular was mentioned. I'm sure some people saw some documentaries about bees. Of course, some of these documentaries may be biased, very far-leaning one way or the other. So, but regardless, I mean, we would maybe know what are some reputable sources to look at, but people are going out, they're seeking it either on the internet, or they're just seeing it, consuming that information, collecting that knowledge in something as simple as a Netflix documentary. So it's on their mind, it's on their radar. So another trend that was mentioned in the focus group was just seeing how the business structure is changing over time. A lot of folks have either an online shop or plants are being sold on Amazon or eBay. And for a traditional business plan, it's different. Sometimes a business was going to close at 5 p.m., but they'll come back into the office maybe the next morning at 7 or 8. They might have 200 orders that they have to fill, and they're not used to having that short time, that lead time to actually fill those orders and get those shipments out the door. So they're trying to adjust. Of course, they want sales. They want to keep the customer happy. But some businesses aren't equipped to that, especially if they're more in a traditional mindset and how they want to work their business. Another note was that they noticed the branded items at the garden centers were being sold more frequently. Consumers are finding that the logos or a certain brand name or a certain item, they are being bought, and there's a higher demand for those as well. And a major concern in the industry is labor. There's this high demand for certain products. There's this online channel as well now, getting some sales out the door. But labor, sometimes this particular quote on the bottom, she's a nursery owner, and she says that's really what keeps her most at night, is there's this high demand, which is awesome, but they don't have necessarily the labor resources to keep up with that, especially if some people are already working 10, 12, 14-hour days. And consumer changes, or tastes have also been changing as well. So in terms of plant material, the interior foliage industry, they seem to want smaller 2-inch pots, terrariums, fairy gardens. Those are really popular right now, and growers have realized that they need to create a line for this type of product to help meet this demand. And that is most popular right now for them. Succulents have also been pretty popular as well, as I'm sure you know. And some nursery growers have realized they also need to create a line for succulents. In the landscape industry, though, they were saying that it's actually the opposite. They want bigger. Bigger is better, apparently, and people are buying bigger houses. They have these bigger landscapes. They don't want to start with maybe a sapling. They want a tree in their landscape that's already maybe a medium size or large size as well. So depending on what industry they're focusing on, their preferences change based upon the consumer. So in terms of the confidence for the future, it was mostly positive, which was really good. I know there are some concerns, which we'll go over next, but generally with the new technology, people are feeling pretty positive about it. They're feeling really good about it. The economy for some folks right now, they're doing really well. They have these sales. Maybe you can attribute that to the online presence, but they're really pushing. They said their business is moving to the north and to the west. They're trying to keep up with it. They do mention the concern for transportation. And but besides that, their sales are going up, so they don't want to say no to sales. And another point they made was that some of their organizations are really good at sales and marketing and distribution, where maybe the growers are really good at growing, so maybe that's what they should focus on. So maybe partnering and collaborating with other businesses in the same industry would be really beneficial. They felt, this person in particular, felt like having that contract or that collaboration kind of put them in the driver's seat, and they had a bit more control that they didn't anticipate before. So that really working together and figuring out whose strengths or what and making the most out of it, kind of working smarter, not harder, was the thinking process behind that. And in terms of the future, there is some concern, particularly with the age of people in the industry. I'm sure that's not something new. We are concerned about, we have average age of a farmer being 58. They're going to retire. What are we going to do? And so there are some young folks. There's some young folks here at this conference, but will they take over a family nursery? You know, we don't know if they're going to stay in the industry as well. And so people are concerned about that. Even people at the nursery, they're realizing there's not as many young people working on the grounds. So there's kind of this maybe an old-fashioned mentality of students go to college and then they go and get an office job. They may not come back to work for a family nursery or to continue to pursue a greenhouse production position. There's also a thought for maybe a family legacy nursery. They're kind of choosing, are their kids going to take over that family farm or that family greenhouse, or are they going to pursue something else? So right now they're kind of in that transitional phase of the first generation took over the greenhouse, but will that second generation continue on with that family legacy? So just to conclude, the current trends that we found in this focus group was the demand for organic products, the concern about bees, the local markets, any specialty crops that may be coming up as well. There's this new interest in ag and also the change in business and plant material. There is confidence in the future. It is positive, but there are some concerns. And so to summarize, the young industry professionals we spoke to, once again, they're under the age of 40. They're nursery growers and also some urban food producers. The current trends that we found was really having an understanding of the consumer demands was important to know what and where consumers want to shop. So whether that's online or in a local market, knowing that could really help growers capitalize on those future sales. Having a specialty crop that has a high value and a high demand could both be beneficial to growers and consumers. So if maybe a grower is looking for a replacement crop, maybe it would be beneficial to pursue something like microgreens if there's a good return on your investment. And this renewed interest in ag could be a really positive thing, especially if there's more digital and mobile-friendly communication platforms out there. It may be wise for growers or nurseries to have a website presence or have a social media presence, especially if there are going to be more documentaries on Netflix and out there. Really, kind of, it's better to have more informational resources out there versus less. And so in terms of the future, there seems to be a really positive outlook. There is some concerns with getting younger generations involved and with the labor shortages, but we were really really happy with the results, that people were excited about the future and that they really weren't just dismayed because there wasn't as many younger folks involved. So with that, there's my contact information, and I can take any questions. Well, there are these people who are maybe don't want to pursue a business in agriculture or horticulture, but they may have their own like hobby farm or their own garden in their backyard. So there's this higher concern of even the nutritional benefits of having locally grown food or even like different varieties of broccoli. I mean, that's sometimes people don't realize where their broccoli comes from, if it's local or it's not, and so that could be even translated into other food products and kind of connecting more with the green industry. Some people, I am also an academic advisor, and some students don't realize they can even major in plant science, and so they think they're really limited to biology or botany versus more of a horticultural perspective. So so there's a lot of just the self-initiative momentum to find out information on their own, probably because the internet's so accessible. And there are these documentaries. There's a little bit more talk about the green industry now. But some folks don't even realize they can even get a job in it, you know, if they really are passionate about it. So, yeah. So we're hoping if there are more digital channels out there, maybe more people could get involved, and that could actually even kind of cycle into getting more people to help replace the older farmers that will be retiring soon. So, yeah. Did you have a question?
I thought that a lot of the trends that they're seeing is positive are just basically more engagement by the consumer and where the stuff comes from, the nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether there are either products or parts of Florida that are more attractive for that, my question is generated from the experience in Southwest Florida, where they say, we can't sell into Miami, they don't like us, it's easier to sell to Charlotte. That seems to be a place where it was not happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I can, some background information I didn't give is we're located in Apopka. We're just west of Orlando. And so Apopka was the fern city. It was the foliage capital back in the day. And so there's a lot of empty greenhouses right now, which is pretty sad, especially with the recession in 2008. A lot of them had the plant knowledge but not the business knowledge. So we're really trying to push kind of you have to know how to crunch your numbers just as much as you need to know how to plant and grow plants well and efficiently get the return on the investment. Some people just don't always connect those dots. So this particular industry, we also, urban food producers, why we included them in this group was because Orlando is becoming a lot more urban. There's a lot of growth. Eastern Orlando is pretty much all built, and so now they're coming west. And so there's kind of this need, and we're trying to kind of stay ahead of the curve and understand maybe what they would want, what they would need. That could help fuel our center's research and how we could maybe help the industry as well. So getting younger people involved is definitely ideal. But there's competition everywhere. But, yeah, South Florida is its own beast. So, yeah. Any other questions? Are we good? Out of time? Okay. Yep. Thank you.